University of Wisconsin-Madison scientists have found a way to make the pain relief medicine acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol. They make it from trees instead of from petroleum. It's cost-effective, environmentally sustainable, and commercial licensing of the method could create, boy, some new industries, maybe into the billions of dollars. Larry Mueller here, and the leading researcher joins us today on the show, Steve Carlin, staff scientist at UW-Madison's Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center. Talked many times over the years about the GLBRC, and it's great to have Steve in for the first time. His research is focused on converting plant biomass to commodity chemicals and liquid fuels. And as we talk with Stephen, I hope you'll join in, want to hear from you. Did you know that the acetaminophen that you take for your headache is made from coal tar and petroleum, basically? If the same medicine was made from plants, maybe that's a better way to buy and use it. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And Stephen Carlin, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. Appreciate being here.
Well, 5 years ago, you and UW-Madison biochemistry professor John Ralph discovered how to make acetaminophen from poplar trees. And I'm wondering, what the heck made you think that could be done?
Well, at the time, we were working on ammonia treatment of biomass. Kind of the poet plant over in Iowa was doing this on corn stover, and we had some researchers in Minnesota, in Michigan, that were really focused on that kind of technology. And our microbiologists were complaining about some of the inhibitors that kill their bugs. One of them would be parahydroxybenzamide. And as an undergrad, I had a reaction that was really cool to do a rearrangement. And pretty soon, a postdoc, Justin Mobley, realized that could become acetaminophen. And so we did a nice three-step process that could make acetaminophen from poplar trees.
In layman's term, what's the process?
So basically we take ammonia, like you would buy for your wash machine, you know, to clean up a little bit. And we cook the poplar wood with that. We separate the water from it. And then that water has parahydroxybenzamide, which we can treat with bleach, just like your common household bleach. Don't mix the bleach and ammonia, though. And that makes a chemical that is one step away from becoming paracetamol, which we add in a derivative of household vinegar. So acetic anhydride is the chemical, and that makes paracetamol.
So it's kind of a lot of it then comes from what we normally have in our house.
Yeah, that was one of the goals, is we wanted to use every step something that would be very common, very non-toxic if we mixed them all together and made products that we could actually really consciously try to minimize environmental impact.
So doesn't sound like too hard of a process, but how easy and how cost-effective is this process to replicate?
Well, that was original idea, was doing this as just like in your a stovetop, mixing them together. And it turns out that the product we made was not stable. And so we had a lot of trouble getting our yields up. And then we had a member of our team join us, Dr. Janan Shenar. She's a chemical engineer. And she said, why are you doing it in a batch? Make this continuous. And so by making it a continuous process, we made our reaction time less than a minute. And we were able to get the yields way up. So there's a little bit of technical knowledge on how to temporally, by time, control it. But it's really fairly straightforward.
So a and what do you mean by continuous process?
Basically, like when you turn your hose on outside and the water starts flowing, that water, we're then going to put little T's where we mix things together, and that's going to continuously make something.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of shooting it in as you go along. Well, here we have, what has it been? More than a century, I think, that acetaminophen has been used from or made from petroleum products. That's a long time. I'm wondering even how they hit on that to begin with. But what are the advantages of making it from trees?
The biggest advantage we see is that we're not pumping out of the ground. We're not taking non-renewable sources. We're getting our products from a renewable feedstock like poplar trees. And ideally, we're viewing this as a way to actually add to the poplar pulp mill. When they're pulping and making paper or other products, we can now take what's currently going to be a waste stream that's going to get burnt and have to be detoxified and create value from it and not have to go back to the petrochemical. So building that bioeconomy that we talk about.
Well, so this is normally a waste product then.
It would be there in the mixture of waste products, yeah, the black liquor or some other type of stream.
And I know that just from my own background of being on this show for a long time, that poplars are trees that grow really quickly.
They do, really fast. 3 years, you can have a nice 20-plus foot tree.
And so why is it taking so long to develop this alternative to using fossil fuels to make medicine?
There are some routes. I think it's a lot of it's technical and economic. So the feedstocks for the petrochemical industry are just so cheap, it's hard to compete with. And if you don't care about the environmental impacts, then you're not taking that factor into account.
Oh, okay. But this is a cheaper way to do it.
Not sure yet. We're gonna we're still working on figuring out the economics of it, but that's going to be cost directly is one thing, but if you actually look at the whole system, where are you getting it from? What are those processes? What would be done alternatively with the stuff? It becomes an integrative problem.
Steve Carlin, our guest today. Stephen Carlin, a staff scientist at UW-Madison Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center. We're talking with him about producing acetaminophen from poplar trees. It's really a fascinating discovery here, and I'm really glad that he's with us today to talk about it. Questions for him, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@wpr.org. I'm wondering if you can make acetaminophen from this, are there other products that could be made maybe using sort of the same process?
Yeah, there's a large portfolio of material properties or products that you could make. One of the intermediates in the pathway is paraaminophenol, which is the precursor to a lot of black ink or plastics and other stuff. And so it's actually a huge market for that chemical on its own.
So this would be, I mean, could this be done at the same time you're making the acetaminophen?
It would be instead of the acetaminophen. So you use that to make acetaminophen. But there's other products we could target as well. It's a huge portfolio of chemicals.
So I'm trying to think of a way to put this. How big a tree would you need to produce a bottle of acetaminophen? Or Tylenol, basically, is what we're dealing with here.
I don't have that number off the top of my head. The paracetamol, basically 1% of the biomass of the wood, would be able to go into our process. So if you have a tree, which is about a ton, 1%, what would that be? 10 kilograms.
Okay.
So that could produce a decent amount.
All right. Matt in Middleton, we'll give you a chance to join in. Matt, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I wonder if the fact that willow bark was used by the Native Americans, and it's been used since the time of Hippocrates as a pain reliever because it's got salicin in it, and it's converted to salicylic acid in the body, which most people know of as aspirin. And I found it really interesting that now we have another pain reliever also being derived from trees. Did that factor into the researchers' methodology at all?
Oh, interesting. Thanks, Matt.
So actually, a willow is really closely related to poplar, and you can make the paracetamol from willow as well. Different parts of the tissue, but it was inspirational, but not really where we were going with originally.
So. Okay, but at least it was inspiring to know that it had already been done for a long, long time by Native Americans.
Very much so, and really exciting and interesting that we could potentially, from willow trees, make both acetaminophen and aspirin.
And willows are pretty fast-growing, too.
Very fast.
Very fast-growing. Matt, thanks a lot. I appreciate that call. Alan in Madison will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Alan.
Hello. Fascinating show, and thanks very much.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wondered, in that process that you just described, is it possible to make this concoction without using bleach? Because I know in Germany they've outlawed bleach, and it's supposed to be not very good for the environment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
It is possible to do the rearrangement and the chemistry without bleach. We viewed bleach as something that could be made in situ, inside the reaction mixture. And we were trying to do it like enclosed system, but we haven't investigated what other oxidants that would be cheap and economical and easy to make and work with.
So but there's possibilities out there for that.
Many possibilities. We limited our scope because we wanted to be cost effective. But if you're not worried as much about the cost and more about not using bleach or something,
it could well be done. So where are you in the process?
Right now, we are actually looking at making a startup company called Phenylvation, where we're looking at the economics of it and seeing where we could find sources of the material, how we can scale it up from being a benchtop system to something that's more realistic in production and making tons a year, if not hundreds of tons.
It's been really a lot of fun for me over the years, because I was hosting this show, I think, when the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center actually got started, which is a ways back now.
About 17 years.
17 years. And what's the potential for developing biofuels from non-food plant fiber?
I think it's very, very high potential, and it's becoming more and more essential for us to really pursue. We've identified a lot of new pathways. We're getting a lot of different directions from what we originally started off with, talking of the ethanol, cellulosic ethanol, moving to isobutanol, and now it's even moving farther into looking at other liquid fuels and transportation fuels.
Susan in Madison called, couldn't stay with us, but wonders if the acetaminophen from trees results in less liver toxicity.
So the short answer would be no, it wouldn't, because what we'd be producing is, in essence, the same purity of chemical, which is really high pharmaceutical grade purity. So all of the impacts of the acetaminophen would still be there on the liver and other parts of the body.
Steve Carlson, our guest today, as we talk about his research through the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center. Questions for him about this relationship between acetaminophen and poplar trees. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking with Steve Carlin today, staff scientist at UW-Madison's Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, looking at the work that he and others are doing to produce acetaminophen from poplar trees, and also looking at other potential uses for their research. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Mary in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'm extremely allergic to Tylenol. The only time I ever took it, I ended up in the emergency room. I'm not allergic to aspirin. I'm wondering if this new way of making Tylenol would change my allergy or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. It's that's got to be tough. I do not think it would change your allergy at all, unfortunately. The difference would be chemically of what the structures are. And though the two are very similar, they are different enough that this wouldn't be able to help.
Oh, that's unfortunately the case, Mary. Thank you very much for calling, though. Are there any byproducts from the process of making the acetaminophen, excuse me? And if so, what do they do with them? So, I mean, I guess how pure is the process?
So this has been a challenge that we actually had to face for quite a while. Our early attempts in the batch process, we were making basically black ink, and really 70% or more of ours was going to that. In our continuous process that we talked about, we are actually getting upwards of 90-95% conversion to the final product, paracetamol. And these side products are either the starting material or some mostly starting material. But then there's also, what did you use with your reagents? And that's why we chose bleach originally and making sodium chloride, table salt. And we're not worried about that. Some of the other parts in the line is going to be acetic acid, which is your vinegar. And so we were really conscious trying to pair up what we made as impurities for downstream purification. And
so you're looking at 95%?
Of the material converted over to product.
Wow. Jim in Westby, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Great.
Simple. Maybe this has been covered because I tuned in late. But I'm wondering if they have done, if you guys have done, a carbon balance. Does this process release carbon to the atmosphere? That's the real question.
Yeah, or does it sequester?
So this process would release carbon to the atmosphere as a net process. We do not have in the purification and running it any way to trap or recover carbon from the atmosphere. However, we are trying to put this in together with a biomass processing facility and sourcing it from trees instead of from the coal tar or petrochemicals. So our starting material comes in a lot less carbon impact than what we would have been for the other routes.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Patrick emailed to ask, what's your guest thoughts? What are your thoughts on the increase in cancers, autism, as side effect of so many fossil fuels and chemicals ingested in our bodies through foods, clothing, medications, makeup, and so on?
I worry about that a lot. I know a lot of the petrochemicals can have a lot of products that can contain problems. Also, natural foods can also do the same thing. When you're a chemist, you start realizing that every chemical is healthy and unhealthy. The old adage of the dosage makes the medicine or the poison. And so.
Yeah. Mary Kay in Kenosha, your turn. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi. I know popular is good for making musical instruments and firewood and things like that, but working with oregano is an antimicrobial, anti-cancer, anti-cough. I can think of many other things. You should start researching the herbs.
Thank you. I've looked at a few herbs and spices through my time and trying to look at the chemical composition of them and really looking for compounds that we could actually extract value out of. And they're really exciting.
Yeah, they are indeed. I'm wondering, I could imagine, or maybe do you imagine, people starting poplar tree farms specifically to extract the needed compound?
So the problem with the compound is it's a 1% of the weight of the biomass. And if you were to process the poplar tree farm just for that, you wouldn't be able to make the books. The economics wouldn't work. But poplar is great for paper making. It's great for lumber. Other type of applications. So you'd plant your plantation and then you'd make a portfolio of products. And that portfolio is really what we're after.
So you're essentially using businesses that are already in place and producing other products.
That's our dream, is to add to the portfolio what they're currently producing.
That sure makes a lot of sense. What's the potential economic impact of the process you've developed?
That's a tough question. Right now, the paracetamol market is about $130 million a year. And that's just the chemical, not the formulation you'd buy at the store, which takes it into the billions. So our impact could be millions to dollars impact, just economic on our own.
And we are, you know, and I'm thinking about this here, we are a state that produces a lot of paper. And paper we write on, paper, toilet paper, all kinds of things. So I'm thinking a state like Wisconsin would have some real benefit from this.
That's what we think as well, especially up north of the state where I've been told poplar trees could grow fences in a year or two almost. They grow real fast.
Yeah, so some really good possibilities here. Josh emailed to ask, what are your thoughts on what the purpose this chemical might serve for the trees themselves?
That has been a big question that we've been asking ourselves, looking at how it actually gets into the tree and what it does. And we have every idea from it just helps the trees make the lignin, the part that holds it up and protects the water movements, everything else, to a Trojan horse where you get a white rot fungi eats it and it releases this toxic compound that kills the fungi. And so we're still investigating what is the reason for this to happen.
It, very interesting. Dennis emailed to say when scale economies are achieved, costs will decrease, and if it'll happen when poplar demand increases. Incidentally, petroleum is partially a product of decayed trees. And he's right on that, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It's the where the petroleum came from, and looking at what is the economy of scale as this goes up and build the pipelines. That's one reason why we're looking at using current infrastructure and poplar production and facilities. Maybe they can be the source of our precursors, our starting material.
John wonders, could it be a game changer from helping to mitigate climate change?
We hope so. As part of a portfolio of products that we can make a bioeconomy from renewable, sustainable sources that allow us to transition without much impact to the public, our need from petrochemical sources over to bio sources.
So it's pretty positive. I mean, what is your sort of your time scale on this now? You've got this process kind of down in a way. What are we looking for in terms of actually getting this into production or getting this into general use?
So right now we're working at trying to figure out which downstream users, who would be buying it, purchasing it, which pharmaceutical companies or manufacturers, as well as where can we get the renewably sourced parahydroxybenzoic acid or parahydroxybenzamide. Who can we partner with to get that source from poplar trees or some other feedstock?
Yeah, and you've established, I think you mentioned this, you have established a startup company. And what do you hope the company can do then?
So the startup company, Fennelvation, myself, Dr. John Enchenar, and Jason Copeland are coming together, and we're trying to realize this dream of making it into an actual production that we can then point on a shelf, say that is the paracetamol that we made. And we're looking to move it forward. We're working with D2P, Discovery to Product, here at UW-Madison to help advance that startup initiative.
And I would guess that you're all probably also going to have to be working with some companies, paper-producing companies, for example.
That's what we're trying to find and identify, the companies that produce the make poplar-based paper. And then what are they doing? And we'd love to talk with them. And, you know, where can we have a conversation about what they need, what we have?
And go from there. So that this is all, you know, sort of in the works. You're hoping like next year at this time, are we going to be, have we made a lot more progress?
I hope so. I hope it can keep going faster and faster. It's amazing leaving the academic lab and going into a business world. This pace is much different.
and everything has to be approved and obviously and and the pluses and minuses. Are there downsides? I can, you know, it's hard to imagine one, but
I mean, there's always some gives and takes. And so what cost are we going to do? Right now it's going to be economic. It's probably going to be a more expensive process than what's currently done. The supply chains are bigger and more diverse. So bringing it all together. So there's a lot of logistics that's really the challenge.
Well, I have to bring you back, Stephen, and talk about this as you go down the road with it. It's really fascinating research to me, and I know to our listeners as well, judging from all the calls. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Larry. Really appreciate it.
Stephen Carlin, a staff scientist at UW-Madison Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center. Great to have him with us, and great to have you listening in. And we've got a great team as well. Joel Patnod, Clara Neipert, our producers, our technical directors, Jeff Robbins, Lee Rayburn, our executive producers, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.